Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
We continue with our study of angelology. Today is part 8. And our Bible text is from Psalm 104, verse 4. It says, "Who makes his angel spirits, his ministers as flames of fire?" Praise God.
Amen.
We spoke about Satan and evil spirits for the last 7 studies of angelology. My aim is that you would understand what is happening in this world. You have to understand what is happening. Behind all the troubles of this world, there are spiritual powers active. And many humans are instruments of these evil spirits. Your problems and temptations are caused by evil spirits who try to make you fall. In Christ, you have power to overcome these spirits. In the name of Jesus, you tell the devil, you tell sickness, you tell poverty to leave you, to get out of your life, because they have no right over you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to run here and there to ask, find somebody who's praying for you, because that power is within you.
Mm-hmm.
The Great One is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the power is available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we look at the earthward ministry of the holy angels as they are revealed in the Old Testament. As all ministers of God, each one has his own particular ministry to fulfill the purpose of God. In the same way, it's the angels have different ministries to do. Paul wrote to the Hebrews about the difference between holy angels and Jesus Christ. He then explained what the angel's duty is. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation?" Christian religion thinks that angels are past, that they are not needed anymore today. But this is spiritual blindness. Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Because of this, we have to wear the whole spiritual armor to be able to withstand all these powers. Angels are an order of created, immortal, celestial spirit beings whose office is to function as God's messengers, carrying out his will and purpose joyfully, unquestionably, and faithfully. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven." So who is fulfilling the will of God in heaven? It's the angels who obey God. The will of angels is perfectly absorbed in the will of God. One characteristic of angelic beings is their unceasing praise. They praise their creator before the inanimate universe. Job in 38 verse 7, he wrote, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That was long before the world was created. Then Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Throughout the ages, their holy service is ministering to God, is ministering to God's elect. Their ministry is worshipping God and the adoration of the Lord of hosts. The reality of angelic activity is recorded 270 times from creation to the New Jerusalem. As we study the activity of holy angels, we must remember that evil spirits are working simultaneously. Satan and his angels, they continue in their opposition against God and against everything that is good. Now, Psalm 104, verse 4, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire? Then Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Who is inheriting salvation? Whoever is being born again. So if you're born again, then the angels are ministering to you. Angels are spirit beings of intelligence, of wisdom, of strength, and unquestionable obedience. Also, they were present at the creation of the material universe. The first reference that we find in the Bible, from the earthward ministry, we find in Genesis 3. We read of the temptation of Eve and of Adam, how they fell into sin. And God spoke his judgment over humanity and sent them out of the garden. We read that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Cherubim are exalted beings. The first time they were employed in human history. God wanted Adam that God warned Adam that disobedience would mean death. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in their sinful state. So they were not allowed to go to that tree anymore. Because of their sin, physical and spiritual death came in. We don't know how many times God sent angels to guard us on our way. Psalm 91 verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Mm-hmm. He sends angels to guard us, to protect us. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We have no further reference of angels unto Abraham. In company with the Lord, they visited Abraham in Mamre. These angels witness the Lord's promise to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant to make him a great nation, and also to be barren by his wife of Abraham, who was barren, who was old and could not have any more children. And they promised, the Lord promised, within 1 year she would have a son. He announced himself as Jehovah, who can overrule the process of nature and to give an aged woman a son. From Mamre, the angels went to the wicked city of Sodom. Abraham interceded before the Lord and said, "If there are 10, are you still going to destroy this city?" And certainly Abraham was thinking of his son Lot and his family. They had lived in the city, they became part of that city. And Abraham was pleading with the Lord and said, "If there are 10 righteous, will you destroy this city?" Though God holds judgment upon the mortal corruption of people, he is accessible through the power of intercession. Righteousness may not save a city, but it will exalt a nation. Not even 10 could be found in that city, but God remembered Abraham and sent angels to deliver Lot and his family. It was the result of the fervent prayer of a righteous man. God not only sent angels, but also he sends human messengers to help, to comfort, and to bring deliverance in answer to heartfelt prayer and intercession. Balaam, he was a soothsayer. He was a prophet, but not a prophet of God. The king of Moab, he hired him to denounce a curse upon the people of Israel. Those who hired him believed that when he cursed, people would be cursed. When he blessed, people would be blessed. But God sent an angel to bar the way. There are people, they don't believe in angels, but the donkey, he had no doubt. He knew there is an angel. So she recognized the actual presence of that angel. But Balaam, in anger, insisted over the protests of the ass until Balaam's eyes were opened and he saw the angel who reprimanded him. An angel was carrying out the will of God and the purpose of God. God was not happy with Balaam because he was going to curse his people. But through the intervention of the angel, the curse was changed into a blessing. The next actual activity of angel we see in Genesis 28, when Jacob had a revelation. We read in Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. "Then he dreamed and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it." There is no better evidence Then what we find in the Bible, that God has on numerous occasions communicated with man through dreams and visions. There are too many references in the Bible that we could ever cover them at once. But Jacob had a dream or a vision. The word translated vision is in Greek optasia. This means a sight, a vision, an appearance presented to one whether asleep or awake. The other word is used homara, which is seen. That means visual. Man within his waking moments thinks, imagines, and remembers in terms of vision, and thus naturally a visitation or revelation in a dream is predominantly visual, because it says, I saw an angel. These testimonies were given by men of God like Samuel, Ezekiel, Daniel, and in Acts. We see that God appeared to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and told him to flee to Egypt. It may also have to do with the development of the kingdom, or even apocalyptic visions like Revelation. It should, however, be checked if these visions are from God or not, because the devil also gives visions. Someone who does not read the Bible and says, I had a vision, is questionable. To Jacob, this vision was a great assurance that all the promises made to Abraham and Isaac were ratified to him. The Abrahamic covenant was repeated to Jacob, who thought he was destitute of heavenly blessings. Jesus came and communicates, and all communion between earth and heaven is in him. Praise God. In the New Testament, we have direct access. He touched the earth as of his humanity. He touched heaven in his deity. Angels of God are continually ascending and descending as ministering spirits, serving all of the purposes of divine providence. Elijah, after his debacle with King Ahab and Jezebel, he ran into the wilderness. He was overcome with tiredness in body and mind. He was asleep. And while he slept, an angel brought him food and water to give him strength for the long journey that was ahead of him. God is committed to watchfulness and the loving care of those who are watchful, and loving care to those who are committed to his cause. To angels, he committed the administration of affairs, material, even physical need, if God so purposes. When Hagar fainted in the desert, an angel dictated her to a fountain. God still cares for his own. By being led by the Holy Spirit, holy angels or human messengers have ministered in the realm of material need, and people speak of needs, material needs that were miraculously met. That angels were present as witnesses at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai is clearly recorded in Acts 7:53, Galatians 3:19, Hebrews 2:2, and Deuteronomy 33:2. The law was received by the disposition of angels. Angels were employed in the solemnity of the giving of the law. Moses revealed the law to the people. What God had given him, he revealed to the people, while angels were the attesting witnesses. The giving of the law at Mount Sinai was accompanied by angels. In the midst of national strife, the false prophets of King Ahab were there, prophesying all kinds of wrong. And Micaiah, God's man, he declared his prophetic authority. Because we read in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all of the host of heaven standing by, on his right and on his left. He reminded the king that something that was declared in heaven, which is the fate of King Ahab. The host of heaven is involved in earthly matters. In Isaiah we see another angel into heaven, where angels were gathering. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. It says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. These angels praised until heaven was vibrating with their praise. And these times the world is being deceived. And Satan removes all sense of spiritual values. But there are fearless Micaiahs in our day who declare the truth. The testimony of Micaiah shows that earthly decisions are made in heaven. Then we have the story of Daniel, which is one of the most familiar stories in Bible history. It's a direct demonstration of divine deliverance by angels, because we read in Daniel chapter 6 verse 22, my God sent angels and shut the lion's mouth. My God sent angels and shut the lion's mouth. There is no account that Daniel ever prayed to God that the lion's mouth shall be closed. But God sees and he delivered. His unceasing prayer life, Daniel's unceasing prayer life, his intercession has kept Daniel pure from the idolatry in Babylon. Therefore, his deliverance was wrought to by the resulting protection of constant communion. That is persistently prayed to God was not only Daniel's testimony, but it was also the accusation of his enemies. But God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. God employs angels, some with blessing, some with direction, some with deliverance, and some with judgment, according to his own sovereign purpose. In anticipation of the Assyrian invasion against Jerusalem and the defiance of Jehovah by the king of Assyria, God declared in the second book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 34 and 35. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on the certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Destroying angels must not be confused with Satan's evil angels. In Revelation, we see that holy angels are executors of God's judgment. As God is using angels to execute his judgment, he employs a far greater company of angels to bring comforting and blessings. Israel was always rebellious and backsliding and unfaithful to God. Yet God did not give up on them, but he comforted them through angels. An angel brought the assurance that would not only comfort the people of Israel in the prophet's day, but throughout all the future generations. In Zechariah, God gave comfort to those Jews who returned from Babylon. That's Zechariah 1:12 and 17. The Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:20-23 is a prophecy that Jerusalem shall yet to be a center of religious worship in the world. In short, we looked at a few instances of angelic activity in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, we have 108 references to angels. During Old Testament times, God used angels to bring blessings, to bring good tidings, but also of destruction. Angels were executing judgment and brought directions. Angels also protected Daniel in a lion's den. An angel protected the three men in a fire oven. And there are other examples. In the same way, God is using angels to protect us, but also to warn us. Angels are ministering spirits, and they serve God's purposes in leading us into closer communion with him. Angels help us. Angels guide us. Angels are around us. They're around us. We have angels protecting us from any evil spiritual attacks. The subject of angels is too big that we will be able to discuss it in one teaching. Yet we have seen angelic activity in the Old Testament, and next week we'll study angelic activity in the New Testament. Amen.